This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, it's all about the economy, stupid, and we know the economy remains in the doldrums. The big talking point today, that GDP number, a contraction of 0.6% in the third quarter on quarter. We saw mining, manufacturing and transport, the biggest drags on growth in GDP. And unadjusted, we saw third quarter growth marginal, 0.1% year on year. And at 0.5% growth, which we're battling to achieve now on the looks of things, our economy doubles every 140 years. That is just criminal, actually, if you look at why we need the economy to grow. We need to create jobs and we need to reduce poverty and inequality. We certainly are witnessing the effects of years of underperforming growth in businesses. Whenever I talk to executives, they for the last several years have been talking about cost cutting and holding back essential expenditure. Eventually, all of that comes crumbling down and the business begins to buckle under the weight of this low growth. And the sentiment seems to be that we'll see more of this in 2020. So we've decided to invite three wise economists tonight to give us their view on the state of the economy and what can hopefully turn things around. Kevin Lings, Chief Economist at Stanlib, Annabel Bishop, Chief Economist at Investec, and Mike Schuster, Head of Economists.co.za. So welcome to you all. Annabel, kick us off. The country appears trapped in this vicious cycle of weak growth, mounting debt, and some, like Claire Bissaker, writing in the Business Day recently, believe that this descent is fast becoming irreversible. Do you believe the situation is irreversible?
We're in a structural decline. We've seen economic growth really come down substantially since 2011 on a fairly permanent trajectory. We know we're obviously seeing this downward trend from 3% down to what was hoped for, was 0.5% this year. But now, obviously, with the first two quarters averaging about zero and the third quarter contracting, we're going to have to get a real outperformance from the third quarter just to keep our head above 0%. So, you know, this is highly problematic. I mean, it's one of the key reasons the rating agencies talk about downgrading us, besides our debt, our very poor growth outturn. And of course, the huge worry is the impact that it has on individuals in the economy, on consumers. Of course, you know, with unemployment now at 30%, this type of GDP outturn really pushes you above 30% from an unemployment perspective. And of course, if this persists, it does become a crisis, because what does it mean? If we're on a downward trajectory from 3% in 2011 to maybe around 0% for GDP growth this year, if not worse, are we going to be going into contraction territory? Nothing has really been done to turn this around. We haven't seen a change in the onerous regulatory burden. We haven't seen uncertainty from policy erased. We still not sure what expropriation of compensation is going to mean. And of course, investors are worried. Couple that with the synchronized global economic slowdown, which has really eaten into our ability to perform. And, you know, we are seeing this very, very poor economy, as you said, ladled with debt. And that, of course, reduces the ability for fiscal stimulus from that quarter as well. And of course, you know, the corruption that sucked money out of the system, and, you know, worries, of course, that how are we going to service this debt and turn it around. So I think all of that is contributing to depressing business confidence as well. So this is where we're sitting at the moment, and I think, you know, a lot of people do feel it's turning into a bit of a catastrophe.
I think might be the understatement of the year. Well, Kevin, we had David Masondo, the Deputy Finance Minister, at a JP Morgan conference yesterday, saying that government has to implement National Treasury's economic blueprint if we're to hopefully rescue the situation. Would that Treasury document be enough from these levels?
Evening, Michael. Look, I think the Treasury document has many elements that I think would be helpful. Obviously, it covers a lot of different components, but I would say broadly, if implemented, it would start to make a difference. Many of the suggestions in that document are actually more practical in nature rather than ideological based, and I think that's a welcome development. The problem remains that we're just unable to implement, and Moody's was very clear in flagging that it's not about policy, it's not about articulating what needs to be implemented or understanding where the problem lies. It's about making definitive changes that start to have a real impact. And Annabelle mentioned, we're just not making progress with any of this. The policy area, I don't think we've done enough. We've done bits and pieces around, say, tourism. So there are some areas where I think we've made an impact. We're starting to see a little bit more emphasis from the National Prosecuting Authority on cleaning up corruption. So there are some gains, but in total, when you add that up, it's just not enough to make a difference. And right now, I think part of the problem is the normal stimulus that you would expect to implement in a country like this would be something around fiscal stimulus or monetary stimulus. Those are the typical policy responses you would have. Clearly, monetary stimulus isn't really an option from the Reserve Bank's perspective. Obviously, growth is weak, inflation's under control, but the Reserve Bank, I think, is worried about what the credit rating downgrade could do to the currency. So for the moment, they're keeping interest rates fairly restrictive. And then from a fiscal point of view, we just can't afford to cut taxes. We're probably actually going to look to hike some taxes bizarrely next year. And governments can't really spend because obviously the debt level is problematic. So the typical response is not there, which means you've got to look at alternative responses. To me, the focus needs to be on private-public partnerships in a very significant way and try and lock in or crowd in the private sector into some sort of spending program initiated by government to see if you can't kickstart economic activity and then try and grow from there. But yeah, we definitely are stuck at the moment with limited policy choices.
Yeah, it's a rock and a hard place, isn't it, Mike? Aggregate demand to perhaps be boosted by big infrastructure programs. I don't know. How do you persuade business to go into partnership with government on state-owned enterprises? Who would want to go into business with government on an SAA or another SOE, for example? It's very difficult to see how that unfolds.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael, and as the other two economists have pointed out, Annabelle and Kevin, there's not much room left that we have. So the picture is very dire. This is not a point of discussion anymore. I think South Africa is in a very big hole, and the fact of the matter is if we look at the second quarter data, because we don't have the third quarter data for the individual categories, but government fixed investment was down 7% on a year ago basis. So government is not investing in our future either. So the whole message that's gone out about our investment conferences and everything like that is actually, a bit of a farce. The person that's not investing is inviting everybody else to invest because they don't have money to invest. So the picture is absolutely bleak, and perhaps this is the time period for us to realize what the rest of the world is doing. And the rest of the world, you find governments are gearing up to talk to business, to partner with business, to understand what businesses' needs and concerns are. And we've got to learn to do that very quickly. I think we've veered so far to the left, it's ultra-left drive now that we've got.
Yeah, and it certainly is evident in the way we, from the competition authorities, want to regulate prices now, ex ante, which is very disturbing. I want to talk about monetary policy just for a little while. And while, Annabelle, I'm all for sound, so-called conservative monetary policy. I'm not saying let's open the printing presses, but it does seem that the SARB made a policy misstep at the last meeting. The market telling the same story. SA Inc. is weakening. As Kevin said, perhaps the SARB worried about what Moody's might do if we get downgraded. But this becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy if you're going to continue to ensure that the interest rate is a handbrake on growth.
You know, I think the Reserve Bank responds typically that interest rates are already low. You know, the really historic lows, and that of course they worry that if we do get a credit rating downgrade, we could see an elevation in money market rates that in turn would push up the repo rate, and of course as well a substantial depreciation in the currency, and you know, higher borrowing costs. Your long-term bond yields would rise quite significantly. I suppose they were perhaps worried about cutting interest rates and then maybe having to quickly reverse them and hike them again, you know, obviously concerned about financial market stability. But the fact really is that if you look on a global perspective, we are seeing money easing. We're seeing interest rate cuts globally, and the United States delivered quite a few this year. And of course, if we continue to see this synchronized global economic slowdown worsen, you know, we've seen a decline in trade volumes. If we continue to see this occur, we may see further interest rate cuts globally, or, you know, and of course other monetary policy tools to provide stimulus. I think our Reserve Bank probably is not that keen to go down that path. Personally, I think we have probably not enough liquidity in the markets. There are other ways to actually put liquidity into the system. And, you know, obviously to help banks increase lending, and the lending conditions are quite tight. They may have eased a bit recently, but, you know, all of those really talk to a very constrained environment. And if we could improve the liquidity, you know, help consumers perhaps through other methods that don't necessarily have to cut interest rates, that could be a supportive as well. But, you know, the fact is that the Reserve Bank keeps coming back to the point that it's a structural decline. And that if they cut interest rates, it almost provides a little bit of a help, but then no one bothers to do the hard structural changes. They don't implement the National Treasury's growth plan. And, of course, they're very worried, you know, about, as they talked about earlier, a lot of these highly socialist policies, expropriation of compensation obviously being one of them, NHI as well, the strong push towards socialism in an economy that just can't afford it, as we've seen from the high debt levels. But of course, most particularly, if you have a look at our ease of doing business index, that's risen. And, you know, we were better.
Rather than being in the top 50 where the president wanted to see us in the state of the nation.
And what's happened there is that we found ourselves in a situation where other countries have done better. They've eased their regulations, have made it much easier to do business, and we haven't done that. So just by default, we've worsened. And that is such an easy area for government to start making a massive effort. If it really is going to be, you know, concerned about economic growth and really committed to turning this around, why do we have such an excessively onerous regulatory environment? Why do we make it so difficult for manufacturers to operate? And many people are immigrating just because of this. They're immigrating to other countries where the ease of doing business is easier, where it's easier to run a business, and that means that you're exporting your economy. I mean, it's all very well to take a socialist stance, but I mean, quite frankly, if you're exporting your business people, if you're exporting people who have got the mental ability to start these massive companies, to run them, to do so fabulously well, then, you know, you're exporting part of your economy. And these are the problems that we're actually suffering with at the moment.
And that's what Ricardo Hausmann said. Knowledge economies are built on that intellectual capital base that we are thinning out. Kevin, as we reach the end of this conversation, this is last chance saloon. We always seem to say that, but it's the budget and then Moody's. This is the last chance the government has got to get this right. What innovative new thing could government do now to really start to demonstrate to the market that it wants to unshackle this economy?
Well, I think it's got to make good on many of the statements it's made around restructuring Eskom, restructuring SAA, dealing with the wage bill in the public sector, renegotiating the public sector multi-year wage agreement. And as Annabelle said, just make it easier to do business. I think as you do these measures or implement them and they get well known, then I think you'll immediately get a pickup in confidence and it can start to build on that. What's missing here is just that implementation. And I don't think you can implement everything instantaneously, but you've got to start somewhere, pick one of the issues, make sure that you can make a difference, and then go from there. I'm not sure that it'll be enough to avoid another bad budget and a credit rating downgrade by Moody's, but I think if you look further out over the next couple of years, it would put us in good place to start to get some sort of recovery coming through. So I think it's too late for the budget and Moody's, but just start implementing, just start making good on a whole range of statements and promises that government has been making in recent months.
Kevin Link, Stanlib Chief Economist, with some very seemingly simple advice, but certainly not simple for government to achieve, because it is the implementation that has been so sorely lacking. Thanks for your insights. Thanks to you too, Annabelle Bishop, Chief Economist at Investec, and Mike Schussler, Head of Economist.co.za. Sorry we didn't have too much time there to go into any more detail. That is a wrap from the team here at Classic Business tonight. Thanks to my sound engineers and producers. Melissa Stevens is in the Jazz Lounge and in Gauteng. Carolyn Stain up next with Winding Down. Good night.